Inside, the work was over and the family was collected in the parlour. I sat with them for a while, but my overriding emotion was an urgent desire to be elsewhere. Helen's father had been silent before, but now he sat hunched miserably in an armchair, taking no part in the conversation. I wondered whether he thought I'd actually killed the cow. It certainly hadn't looked very good, the vet walking up to the sick animal, the quick injection, and hey presto, dead. No, I had been blameless, but it hadn't looked good. On an impulse, I jumped to my feet. "Thank you very much for the lovely tea," I said, "but I really must be off. I'm on duty this evening." Helen came with me to the door. "Well, it's been nice seeing you again, Jim." She paused and looked at me doubtfully. "I wish you'd stop worrying about that cow. It's a pity, but you couldn't help it. There was nothing you could do." "Thanks, Helen, I know. But it's a nasty smack for your father, isn't it?" She shrugged and smiled her kind smile. Helen was always kind. Driving back through the pastures up to the farm gate, I could see the motionless body of my patient, with her companion sniffing around her curiously in the gentle evening sunshine. Any time now, the knacker man would be along to winch the carcass onto his wagon. It was the grim epilogue to every vet's failure. I closed the gate behind me and looked back at Heston Grange. I had thought everything would be all right this time, but it hadn't worked out that way. The jinx was still on.
Chapter 8.
Monday morning disease, they used to call it. The almost unbelievably gross thickening of the hind limb in cart horses, which had stood in the stable over the weekend. It seemed that the sudden suspension of their normal work and exercise produced a massive lymphangitis and swelling which gave many a farmer a nasty jolt right at the beginning of the week. But it was Wednesday evening now, and Mr. Crump's big shire gelding was greatly improved. "That leg's less than half the size it was," I said, running my hand over the inside of the hock, feeling the remains of the edema pitting under my fingers. "I can see you put in some hard work here."
"Aye, I did as you said."
Mr. Crump's reply was typically laconic, and I knew he must have spent hours fermenting and massaging the limb and forcibly exercising the horse as I told him when I gave the acrolein injection on Monday. I began to fill the syringe for a repeat injection. "He's having no corn, is he?"
"Nay, nowt but bran."
"Oh, that's fine. I think he'll be back to normal in a day or two if you keep up the treatment." The farmer grunted, and no sign of approval showed in the big purple-red face, with its perpetually surprised expression. But I knew he was pleased all right. He was fond of the horse, and had been unable to hide his concern at the animal's pain and distress on my first visit. I went into the house to wash my hands, and Mr. Crump led the way into the kitchen, his big frame lumbering clumsily ahead of me. He proffered soap and towel in his slow-moving way and stood back in silence as I leant over the long, shallow sink of brown earthenware. As I dried my hands, he cleared his throat and spoke hesitatingly. "Would you like a drink of my wine?" Before I could answer, Mrs. Crump came bustling through from an inner room. She was pulling on her hat, and behind her, her teenage son and daughter followed, dressed ready to go out.
"Oh, Albert, stop it," she snapped, looking up at her husband. "Mr. Elliot doesn't want your wine. I wish you wouldn't pester people so with it."
The boy grinned.
"Dad and his wine? He's always looking for a victim."
His sister joined in the general laughter, and I had an uncomfortable feeling that Mr. Crump was the odd man out in his own home.
"We're going down to Village Institute to see a school play, Mr. Elliot," the wife said briskly. "We're late now, so we must be off."
She hurried away with her children, leaving the big man looking after her sheepishly. There was a silence while I finished drying my hands. Then I turned to the farmer.
"Well, how about that drink, Mr. Crump?"
He hesitated for a moment, and the surprise look deepened.
Would you really like to try some?"
"I'd love to. I haven't had my evening meal yet. I could just do with an aperitif."
"Right. I'll be back in a minute."
He disappeared into the large pantry at the end of the kitchen, and came back with a bottle of amber liquid and glasses.
"This is my rhubarb," he said, tipping out two good measures.
I took a sip and then a good swallow, and gasped as the liquid blazed a fiery trail down to my stomach.
"Oh, it's strong stuff,"
I said a little breathlessly. But the taste is very pleasant.
Very pleasant indeed.
Mr. Crump watched approvingly as I took another drink.
Aye, it's just right. Nearly 2 years old.
I drained the glass, and this time the wine didn't burn so much on its way down, but seemed to wash around the walls of my empty stomach and send glowing tendrils creeping along my limbs.
Delicious, I said. Absolutely delicious.
The farmer expanded visibly. He refilled the glass and watched with rapt attention as I drank. When we had finished the second glass, he jumped to his feet.
Now for a change, I want you to try somewhat different.
He almost trotted to the pantry and produced another bottle, this time of colourless liquid.
Elderflower, he said, panting slightly.
When I tasted it, I was amazed at the delicate flavour, the bubbles sparkling and dancing on my tongue.
Gosh, this is terrific. It's just like champagne. You know, you really have a gift. I never thought homemade wines could taste like this.
Mr. Crump stared at me for a moment. Then one corner of his mouth began to twitch, and incredibly a shy smile spread slowly over his face.
You're the first I've heard say that. You'd think I was trying to poison folk when I offered them me wine. They always shy off, but they can sup plenty of beer and whiskey.
Well, they don't know what they're missing, Mr. Crump. I watched while the farmer replenished my glass.
I wouldn't have believed you could make stuff as good as this at home.
I sipped appreciatively at the elderflower. It still tasted like champagne.